Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Is the premier Marcus Seder, who, well, you might be reading more about in the years to come. He's the premier of a state in Germany, Bavaria, the largest geographical state in Germany, one of the most populous, too. He's in the news because he is supporting a measure in Bavaria for the display of crosses in all public buildings. He says that the cross is a clear avowal of our Bavarian identity and Christian values. We're going to be talking about this story with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. He's a regular guest, a native of Germany. He's a former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. Uwe, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Do you think that Americans can appreciate this historic connection between the civilization of Europe, Western Europe in particular, and Christianity?
No, I don't think so, because there's so little of European history taught at American high schools, nowadays at least. No, it's not, and that also has, of course, consequences. If you haven't been taught the history of the Holy Roman Empire, the history of the kingdoms of France, and then, of course, the Reformation and everything else, you wouldn't understand Europe altogether. I mean, that what you just mentioned, the new decision by the cabinet of the state of Bavaria that every public building, schools and others, have to display in their entrance hall the cross or crucifix, which raises an enormous debate inside Germany, but that it is an issue, and most people, especially in Bavaria, but in other states as well, they are quite aware that there is a disconnect between our history and postmodern shenanigans that somehow try to push the cross of Christianity in the sidelines. But then of course, the churches, and in this particular case, the Catholic churches, are so driven by the zeitgeist that the presiding bishop of the Catholic Bishops' Conference in Germany opposed this law that's been brought before the cabinet by the new prime minister of Bavaria, who is an Orthodox Lutheran. And, you know, the influence of, especially in certain regions of Germany, especially Bavaria, but also Baden-Württemberg, which is the neighboring state, which is also half Catholic, half Lutheran, all these things are not understood. And if I may add something to it, which most Americans don't understand, is that, yes, we don't have a total separation of church and state. We have no state church in Germany, but we have a constitution, the preamble of which says, conscious of their responsibility before God and men. That's the first line. Etc., etc., the German people give themselves this constitution, or basic law, as it's called in Germany. And even more dramatic is the preamble of the Bavarian state constitution, which affirms the need to teach children, raise children with respect. That means all schools should be respected and should be taught religious sentiments, and again, that there should be in state-owned schools or municipal schools, that religion should be taught, either Catholic or Protestant. So we are deeply anchored there. But of course, to me, there's this huge debate in Germany by this rather sly prime minister, who is really, I know him, he is a very, very firm believer, and he's extremely, in a sense, I mean, if he lived in the United States, he would be Missouri Synod Lutheran. And he used to be, for many, many years, a member of the Synod of the Bavarian Lutheran Church, where, again, within the Synod, he represented the conservative wing.
Do you think that Americans can appreciate how much has been lost of that Christian fingerprint on Western European civilization?
Evidently not. Evidently they don't, and I wish they would. I wish they would go a little deeper into European history, and how much we are committed or linked to our Christian heritage. And even if you dismiss it, which happened, see Nazi Germany and other communism, of course, in East Germany, ultimately the faith in God swings back, not to the majority of the people, but I mean, if you see, for example, that in the polls about this edict in Bavaria, 29% or 30%. In favor of this edict. A little over 50% are against it. But then you have to understand that, I told you that before a couple of times actually, that most Germans are totally dishonest when they are being asked about their religious convictions. They want to sound hip. They want to follow the zeitgeist. And then if, for example, it suddenly becomes hip again to be Christian, then there'll be that again. But there are solid, rock-solid Christian roots in Germany, remains there. Even in East Germany, for example, there's a tiny group of Christians in Eastern Germany, about 20% are still members of the church. But they are much more faithful, much more reliable and honest than the Western German Christians, which are... It's a much larger group. They're well over 60%, because they actually practice in the East. So ultimately, you'll find that in the land of Luther, Eastern Germany, you will have a continuum of faith, which has lasted and has stuck out for a long time, and I'm quite sure it's continuing to do so.
You mentioned him before, but what can you tell us about Bavarian Premier Markus Söder?
Well, Markus Söder is, by the standards of senior journalists, senior politicians, is a young man. He's just 50. He has just been elected as within the CSU, Christian Social Union, as the new leader, the new prime minister of Bavaria. He's been, as I said, he's a lawyer, and as I said before, he's been very, very active in the Bavarian church. He is sassy. People smile because he's tough, which I like, and which most people are. And he knows that something has gone wrong in Germany. He keeps saying that the sister party, the Christian Democrat Party, which is, covers the rest of the country, has turned sort of, well, zeitgeist-oriented. And the gap that's been left because of that in Germany, on the conservative side of the population, all this has contributed to the rise of this Alliance for Germany. And, of course, most thinking Germans realize that this Alliance for Germany, which is right-wing, and in part is fascistic, but that's not the majority. But they filled the gap that was left by when the Social Democratic Party, which is the governing party in Germany, suddenly became left wing or left of center, let's put it that way, not the entirety. And you will find this is the so he, this guy is Söder obviously did this as to kick the, his party or the sister party in the bum, knowing that most Germans are dissatisfied with that movement. But most Germans do not officially say, oh, we are all in favor of the cross. That's the minority, but the minority of 30% is a substantial minority of people who dare saying that. You see, I would not be surprised. I've talked about this thing to many of my friends in Germany in politics and in the church, and I would not be surprised if Söder would ultimately wind up Chancellor of Germany when the winds shift in the country.
What can you tell us about his state, Bavaria? How would you describe it with respect to the rest of Germany?
Well, Bavaria is fascinating. Bavaria is the largest state of Germany, larger than 16th state. And in population, it has a population of 13 million. It's the second largest. It has, since the war been ruled, World War II, it has been ruled by the Christian Social Union. It is predominantly Roman Catholic, although branches of Bavaria, parts of Bavaria, especially the Franconian region, are Lutheran and very hard-nosed Lutheran in many ways. They're probably the most conservative Lutherans you find in Germany within the state church or state-related church context. Here's another thing. The Catholic Church, when Söder made this decision, the Catholic leadership of the Catholic Church, including the chairman of the Catholic Conference of Bishops, Cardinal Marx, who was also Archbishop of Munich, condemned this, whereas, strangely enough, the Lutherans, including the Bishop of Bavaria, Lutheran Bishop of Bavaria, who is a bit waffly by himself, but the Lutherans say, well, wait a minute, there is something, it's a good idea, this. And most importantly, the ambassador, the nuncio of the Roman of the Vatican in Vienna, so neighboring Austria, who actually is a Swiss nuncio, was scandalized by the remarks that the German Catholic bishops made about this edict by the government. He said, and it's wonderful, I mean, he very, very stout remarks. So there is an enormous debate on. I'm not saying that we are all coming back to Christ overnight, but there is a debate on. And this is going to continue. This is not going to fall by the wayside. It's going to continue. And this is precisely why Söder did this. So Bavaria has another advantage or other aspect, and that is because of its Catholic or Christian governments in the past, it has by far the best school system in all of Germany. It has the highest, what you would call SAT scores in America, in Germany. They are so good that actually the other states are pushing Bavaria to downgrade their students because otherwise they wouldn't have the same chances at university. But the Bavarians don't do this. It's absolutely fun. And it's also the richest state in Germany because they work extremely well. Important German corporations are headquartered in Bavaria. For example, BMW, Siemens, you know, the electronics corporation, they're in Bavaria. And it is all because of fantastic education, which is based on traditional Christian education. That is the next state is Baden-Württemberg, which is more Protestant, but it's about half and half. And they're the next best state school system. And of course, economically, they're incredibly well. For example, Porsche, they're all there. You know. Bavaria is being ridiculed by other Germans, by North Germans, because of its style, actually. I think it's, you know, the Bavarians are sort of hobos, you know, and walk around in the lederhosen and drink a lot of beer and slap their thighs. But actually, they are most remarkable. It's the most remarkable state. And I'm not a Bavarian, I'm a Saxon, but I really am grateful for that state. And it is quite possible that Bavaria will swing things around. I mean, the debate that this thing kicked up, such a debate now in the last week or so, is very, very encouraging to me, even though officially not the majority.
Finally, then, you mentioned that he might have national potential if the winds of change come to Germany. Do you think that Premier Markus Söder is someone to watch on the German political scene?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Christian Democrat Party seems worn out now. It might go on well until 4 years from now, but until the next federal elections, but they're worn out. I mean, they actually should have gone into opposition for at least 4 years to recover. But they've been there too long. But then the Social Democrat Party, the second largest party, is even more worn out. So now we have to see who actually shows some teeth and some muscle. And the one person I see with muscle and teeth is Söder. And I'm not the only one saying this, because he is so outspoken. I mean, it's if you like outspoken people, he's a lot of fun, you know, because he's a straight talker. So yes, he might lose this in northern Germany, but I don't know. I mean, I think the left wing or the Zeitgeist-driven politics in Germany are on the way out. So let's just hope it's not going to go switch over to a hard right-wing thing, as like the AfD, but that the traditional party, conservative Christian party, takes over the leadership, and that would be the Bavarians. There's another thing about it. You know, there are some of the past leaders of Bavaria were the most interesting characters, amusing characters. There was a guy called Franz Josef Strauß, who was defense minister of Germany and then later a prime minister or premier of Bavaria. And everybody thought, you know, he looked like a sort of dummy. He was the most intelligent politician we've had in Germany after the war. And I remember when television was introduced in Germany, and the first time the parliamentary debate was televised. And he and another guy called Carlo Schmidt, who was a social democrat, debated themselves. They were wonderful debaters, you see. And finally, they slipped into Latin. And then the two of them debated for about an hour each other in Latin. And finally, when it was all over, the entire parliament rose and cheered and clapped, and they embraced each other. That is the caliber of people we used to have then. And when you see a guy like Söder, there's some hope that we get back to this high-class, educated, solid type of leader, political leadership that we used to have in of the old West Germany after the war.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany. He's a former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. Find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for The Fabricated Luther by Dr. Uwe Simonetto, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Uwe, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Don.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss how schools quietly indoctrinate your kids on abortion and transgenderism. Matt Cochran will be our guest. We'll get a review of the movie Avengers Infinity War from Pastor Ted Geese. We'll talk with Chris Roseborough about T.D. Jakes teaching on the Garden of Gethsemane, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Thanks to Pastor Randall Wehmeyer and Divine Savior Lutheran Church in Divine, Texas, for recently renewing their membership in our congregational sponsorship program, The Issues Etc. 300. You can learn more on how you can publicize your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. under the support page at issuesetc.org, The Issues Etc. 300. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.